Do you know what, darling? I was really, really fortunate. I mean, in fact, all of us, we still talk about it because I often see Shane here, saw Paul the other week, saw Jeff, still see a lot of each other. And we've all said over the years, God, weren't we lucky, Sue, to get such a marvellous part. It's all beautifully written, the fun that we had. And the great thing was it transferred into the screen and everyone, you know, it became a real favourite. So we never a day goes by where I think, I'm dead lucky that I got that part, you know.
And one of the magic bits that Croft and Perry wrote into that was the fact there were a number of ongoing stories right the way through the whole run. I mean, not least of all, Peggy's dearest ambition to become a yellow coat.
Oh yes, absolutely. I quite understand that because, as you say, it was something for the audience to cling on to. As you say, although there was a plot, that was always a subplot there. And each week they probably tuned in to say, oh, bless her, she's got an interview today. I wonder if she'll get the job. And then, of course, in one week it was, oh no, she didn't get the job again, you know. And of course, equally, Ruth's part, Gladys, desperate to get Geoffrey Fairbrother, you know, of course, I mean, he left, but then desperate to get Clive, and she finally did. And then, of course, when you think about it, Paul, Ted Bovis, his kind of subplot, if you like, was, oh, well, I want to get on Coronation Street. Never mentioned it, of course, because you couldn't say that, but he said, I want to part in that street play. So I know what you're saying. That was the cleverness. Each week you had the bits of fun, but their initial underlying character never really left, did it?
Just tell me, very, very quickly, just between you and I,
yeah.
What was it with Gladys's badge being upside down?
I know, isn't it absolutely fantastic? We don't know what happened. Wardrobe never noticed it, ever. And of course it set a precedent then, and they went, continuity, oh God, isn't it amazing that you clocked that?
Yeah.
And we all went like that, and she said, oh God, it's too late now. I said can't you turn it up now? She said, oh no. So she said, I got it upside down in this scene one. I gotta spend the next of the bloody series wearing it. And the campy thing was, she's married to John Jackson, and he was a major in the army. Well, of course, he comes from Nottingham like me. And of course, it's quite a strong accent. And anyway, she said to me one day, she said, oh, Sue, I'm worried. I said, what's the matter? I'm going to marry John, and I can't understand a bloody word he's saying. So I had to actually try and help her with translation. Oh, but we had some fun. You know, the great thing was, Neil, I used to love the sound of the scripts coming in the letterbox, because you knew your wife would do the scripts and you'd go, oh God, that's hysterical. That's going to be fabulous. Oh, that's going to be sad. And you just couldn't wait, because you knew. We had 10 years of absolute fun, Neil.
In the 1980s, people would still have been going to holiday camps. That was just a bit before people would have started going away to places like Benidorm.
Oh, yes, you're absolutely right. Yeah, I would quite agree. So that was why I think it was popular when it first came out, because obviously people still had fond memories. I mean, they probably tuned in to watch an episode of Heidi High, having only just come back from a holiday camp maybe 2 weeks earlier. And so that's why I think it had a great deal of reality in it, you know, whereas there was no such thing as an ensuite bathroom. You had to traipse through, you know, as you know, all through the gardens to get to the shower. And I think it also gave people nostalgia, and they thought, oh, well, wasn't it, do you remember when I met you there, darling? You know, they met their husbands there and all that. So I think they were always quick, David and Jimmy, to latch on to realisms and things that people could identify with. And one of the reasons they have things like Heidi High and I Shall Say This Only Once from Hello Hello, David was a big believer in catchphrases. You know, like one of the older comics, Can You Hear Me, Mother?
Yeah.
Or Swinging Dodgy, you know, with one of the older comics, Norman. So, and I think he's been proven right. He knows his public. He knows what the public want.
And also brilliantly sets all those programmes in the past, so they never date.
Well, exactly. But interestingly enough, a lot of the so-called media-savvy people quite actually said, oh, well, Dr. Beach is absolutely dated. Well, of course it's not. As you say, it was an era. Like the year 2000, that decade, that'll be an era now. So I do think that when people say that, they kind of got that wrong, really. You know, it was really great fun, but I think, to be honest, Dr. Beach had a great following because people loved steam trains.